Reformed Church.
What I wanted to share with you is just something so cool. You know, it's for me, it's a, well, all of this stuff is always personal to me, but it's, to me, it's a very personal thing because it just highlighted something in my mind that, you know, I could see like why the Lord was kind of showing me certain things in relation to this. But I'm just calling it real quick. I just put a title here that just puts me in the right frame of mind. It says, Knowing the Spirit of Error by Knowing Jesus, right? And you know what it is the Lord just kind of, I was just writing and I just felt the Lord kind of tell me, you know, you don't have to educate yourself, right, in the things of the world in order to know the difference, right? In order to know the difference between the Spirit of God and the spirit of error, or the Spirit of God and the spirit of this world, or to know the difference between what is natural and what is spiritual, right? There's only really one thing that's needful, which sounds interesting, but it is the same thing that we were talking about, right? It's just knowing the Lord, right? And then, you know, if it's not of Him, then it's not of this world. It really doesn't matter what it is. It's just that it's not of Him, right? And it could be natural, it could be demonic, and you know, and there is a difference between natural and demonic, but it could be natural, it could be demonic, it could be whatever, but it really doesn't matter, right? I don't have to know anything about this worldly thing. I just continue my focus and put my focus on the Lord, and it's His way. And I understand that there's still, you know, there could be arguments that would try to lift up to that and say, oh yeah, but you still need skills and for work and for stuff. And I'm just telling you, you really don't. I mean, you could live by the Spirit of God and profit in every single area of your life and not hold to anything natural or anything that we would consider helpful, right? Or that we would lean on today. In other words, you could by looking at the Lord, you can get to a place where you're letting go more and more of one thing at a time without you trying to let go of things, right? It's just that you just have your eyes on the Lord and you're acknowledging the Lord in this and in that and in the other thing, right? And a little by little, you just really, what's happening is you're letting go of the natural, right? And you're just gravitating, and it is no longer you that's working, not no longer you that's profiting yourself, no longer you that's doing these things, but it's God doing it in and through you, right? Just real quick, 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 1, it says, Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. And again, just make sure I give you the right reference. 1 John 3, verse 1. Therefore, the world, it says, does not know us because it did not know Him. It says, Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. So the key there is that it says that there are things in our life, and I understand the context of this, but this is applicable, I think, across the board for us, that there are things that are not yet revealed in our lives. There are things that are not yet manifest in our lives, right? But the reality is that even though there are things that are not yet revealed or not yet seen in your life, right? There's no concentration that you have to put on the natural for those things, right? But just beholding and knowing the Lord, because the concept is that when He is revealed, right, so then you're revealed, right? So it is by Jesus being revealed to you that things that are not yet revealed in your life get revealed, right? And because it has to happen first in your seeing and in your eyesight. So you don't have to concern yourself with your eyes being set on whatever. Let's say you're going through a problem and your eyes are on this problem and you're praying to God about this problem and you're talking to everybody about this problem and you're researching this problem online, right? The point is that if you can see Him revealed, you don't have to educate yourself in this area, but instead just acknowledge the Lord in that area as your healer, as your wisdom, regardless, you know, whatever that area is, and then see the way of the Lord. In other words, there is a wisdom, there is a way that the Lord has to be able to prosper you in that area so that you can see truth. Because in reality, there is always the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And the spirit of error, just simply put, is everything that is not of the spirit of God. It's of error, right? It could be something that could be a natural fact, but it will lead you to error. It will lead you to death. So that is error, right? Even if something is a provable natural fact, right, it's still of the spirit of error, right? It's, if it's natural, right? Because compared to the wisdom of the Spirit of God, this will give you life, that'll lead you to death, right? So it's not about your actions and what you're doing. It's your heart and where it's set and what you're looking at, right? Because we always want to be looking at truth, right? So he says, so the concept there is that as those things that are not yet revealed or manifest in your life will be revealed only as he's revealed to your eyes, right? 1 John chapter 4, just a chapter later, 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, it says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. So just, we know that verse, but it's just one other thing to be able to clarify in our hearts and in our mind that we are as he is. So what you want to be beholding, as we've been saying, right, for years, but as what you want to be beholding is him, to be able to reveal or to see what is truth. Right, sometimes the concept here is that sometimes we think that by educating ourselves in the natural leads to some kind of success, right? But educating yourself in the natural just leads to stuff like worry, leads to all kinds of other things, right? So there's not really profit in educating yourself in the natural, right? It's allowing yourself to see yourself from God's perspective, right? See, for you to be able to look at him and see who you are. And if it's wisdom that you need, he has it. If it's understanding that you need, whatever it is that you need for that thing that you're doing, right? You, as long as you know that as he is, so are you in this world. So you want to function as the person that you are. You want to live that way, who you are. And knowing natural, let me tell you this. Sometimes, for instance, I could be preaching about any given topic, right? And more in the past than lately, but still, you can catch yourself, and I haven't listened to things to try to judge myself. I don't go back and do that. But I know that it's been there in the past where you could be talking about something and you're majoring on all of this stuff that's bad, and this is bad, and that was bad, and this other thing was bad. And sometimes it's okay to point things like that out. But the thing is, but pointing and harping on natural things, right? They're not really profiting anything in anyone, right? Because, and even if you can get someone to understand, you know, that this natural condition is the same thing maybe that you've gone through, but that also is not profitable, right? It's just, the thing is, what I want everyone to always understand is who Christ is and what we have in him. But getting your own eyes or anyone else's eyes on the natural doesn't get anyone there any quicker, right? It doesn't serve as a good example of anything, right? Seeing Christ definitely does. Let me show you this real quick, because I think it's the heart of this. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, if it is of God or not, right? Whether they are of God, because many false prophets." So what that tells you is that there is a propagation of false doctrine. Now, this is going to be, have to be quick, but it's going to be a little bit difficult. That there's a difference between false prophets and people that are thinking naturally, right? In other words, a Christian that loves God and has the Spirit of God can think carnally, but that doesn't mean, right, that he's thinking demonic thoughts, right? It doesn't mean that he's being inspired by the devil. Obviously, a Christian cannot be that way, right? So what it's the first thing that it talks about here is test the spirits, because there are false prophets. Now, there are people that could be speaking something that is erroneous, right? But that doesn't make them the false prophet. They could have been propagating some lie that some false prophet somewhere else began, and that could have found its way into the church, and some people could be speaking that, right? But it doesn't make that individual the false prophet. Is that there are false prophets in the world, right, is the point that he's making, propagating that stuff, right? And they've gone out into the world. It says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. So that our mind is around spiritual things, right, of the Spirit of God, concerning themselves with Jesus and what he came to do and the glory that he shared with us afterwards, right? That's all that that's about. And every spirit, it says in verse number 3, that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and this is the spirit of Antichrist. So any spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of the spirit of Antichrist, because it's against God, right? But again, we don't have to become knowledgeable of the doctrine that Antichrist preaches, right? We don't have to become knowledgeable of all the tricks and deceits of the devil, because the truth is, I don't have to know how you're trying to deceive me. I can just know the spirit of Christ, and I'll spot deceit immediately, right? Because my heart is on the Lord. In other words, I know, if you know what the gospel is and you know what that message is, right, then anything that's not preaching that is not something that you have to dwell on, right? So whether it's a false prophecy or whatever, wherever it's coming from, you know that you know where your mind needs to be, or where it needs to be led to, right? Verse number 4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who's in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world. So there is definitely a natural speak and a natural way to think. And any time that a Christian gets caught thinking naturally, right? This whole issue that we feel sometimes on the inside when we start talking about things like death, right? There is, with that, it's very, very simple, right? You could listen to the things that the Spirit of God is preaching according to Christ, right? According to Christ, or you can listen to natural teaching or false doctrine, right? Things that are just of the world. And so the way, if you want to understand things about eternal life, right? And when can I have eternal life? And when is it mine? And when can I appropriate these things for myself? The one that you want to be looking at and beholding is Jesus Christ, right? You want to be looking at him. You want to be mindful of the word of God and not looking at natural things, right? Because being naturally minded, and actually that's the last reference that I'm going to bring to you. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, sorry. I'm trying to speed up so fast. I didn't read just the last verse to you of 1 John 4. So 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than who's in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God, and he who knows God, listen to what he says there, he who knows God hears us, and he who does not know, he who is not of God does not hear us. It says, by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So you know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error just by you knowing God. You don't have to know God and know everything that the spirit of error speaks, right? You just have to know God, and that's it. And that will obviously, it'll highlight for you the spirit of error, right? The last thing that I'm going to share with you is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. 1 Corinthians 2:11, and then it's just going to go into the first three verses of chapter 3. But it says, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us of God. So what that's telling you right there is that there is a spirit of the world. In other words, there are natural things in the world. And what we, and this may not be something that you major in your mind too much, but I just want to highlight this for you in your heart. Natural thinking does not help you. Natural thinking. We're not talking about doctrines of devils. We're talking about natural thinking, right? Compare natural thinking in anything in your life and then put together that beside the thing that God is bringing to you. Natural thinking is the thing that leads to death, right? Natural and carnal is the same thing, right? Natural carnal mindedness leads to death, right? We know that. I won't have time to read it to you, but Romans chapter 5 between verse 5 and 8 kind of elaborates on that, right? But so he says in verse number 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is of God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. Verse 13, these things we also speak, not in words with man's wisdom teaches. That's men's wisdom. It's just, it's wisdom. It's natural wisdom, right? It doesn't mean it's demonic wisdom. It's just men's wisdom, right? Men's wisdom tells you all kinds of things. Men's wisdom tells you this is not possible. Men's wisdom tells you you can't do this. Men's wisdom tells you this is not doable. Men's wisdom tells you a whole ton of stuff, right? But the thing is, you don't want to judge situations or things or your family, things to do with the your mindset, right? The things that you dwell on, the things that you accept and don't accept based on men's wisdom, right? There is something that men's wisdom teaches, right? But there are things it says which the Holy Spirit teaches. And the Holy Spirit compares, the way you listen to the teaching of the Spirit of God is comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So we that are spiritual, we can understand spiritual things, right? We that are spiritual can understand spiritual things by the Spirit of God. Verse number 14 says, but the natural man, this is what we're talking about, right? Men's wisdom, natural men. The natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. It doesn't mean that a natural man is demonic, right? It just means that a natural man thinks naturally. And a natural man will hear false doctrine that's put out there, and they may receive that and accept that, right? But it says a natural man does not receive the things of God, for their foolishness to him. So obviously, the reason why the things of God, spiritual things, are foolish to a natural man is because a natural man is natural. You're talking to me about spiritual things. I don't even hear what you're saying, right? I can't hear. I can't understand what you're saying. Nor can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Last three verses and I'm done. Of chapter 3. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal. So there are times that a spiritual person, a born-again believer, cannot receive certain spiritual truths because they're still very carnal in their thinking in that area, right? So natural thinking does not help us, right? Natural thinking does not help us, but that's why the mindset, in other words, having a heart that is set on the Lord when you're listening to things helps you not to reject doctrine because you think, oh, that doesn't align with natural thinking. In other words, every time a light bulb goes off in your head or an exclamation mark, oh, there's something wrong with that, that doesn't mean that's from the Spirit of God. That could be from your natural thinking that something that is being heard is contradicting that thinking and alarm bells are going off, right? So if you want to check that, what you hear, how do I know that that's true? How does that line up to Jesus Christ, right? That's how you get rid of that. Is it the Spirit of God or is it the spirit of error, right? So it says, I fed you with milk in verse number 2 and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. Verse number 3, he says, why? For you are still carnal. For where there's envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not yet all carnal and behaving, he says, like mere men, mere natural men, not people that are eternal, right? The Lord was just, you know, just sharing a couple things with me, and I'll stop here, but that were, you know, he's saying, you know what? He says, I'm eternal, you're eternal. Right, as I am, so you are. Right. So if I see, I behold the Lord's eternity. I can see His longevity. I can see how His life never ends. Why would I ever disagree with that about myself? Right. Because as He is, so am I. That's really the key of what we're talking about. Right. You don't have to educate yourself in the spirit of error to be able to know truth. You know truth, and that'll automatically highlight the spirit of error, and you can keep your mind away from that stuff and you keep going here, right?
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformedchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.